Boys and girls, how many of you had a good time at Christmas? Did you enjoy Christmas? Yeah. I think Christmas family time and Christmas decorations and Christmas presents, it's a wonderful time for kids, for all of their energy and their excitement. Now, I know that in just a few days or maybe a couple of weeks, all these decorations will be put away here in the church. They'll be put away in your home. They'll be stored away. But I know one thing that won't be stored away, and that's going to be all of your energy. You can't put that in a box, can you? You can't put it in the closet. You can't store it in the basement. Kids have energy. Some of you are blinking. Like, yeah, tell me about it. This past week, Gail and I had the chance of making a trip down to Claire's home to visit my mom and dad, who are 91 and 92 and still doing great. We're so thankful for that. But we brought with us our daughter and our two grandchildren, 11 and 13, journeyed with us down to Claire's home and back. And on the way home, Friday morning, when we left Claire's home in the morning, traveling north on the QE2, our granddaughter, Talia, who's 11, she sat in the back seat of our van and looked out kind of the back window. And of course, I was barely breaking the speed limit, but there were lots of other people who were growing faster than I was up the QE2. And our dear granddaughter, shortly after we left Claire's home, which is in southern Alberta, all the way through Calgary to Red Deer, sat in the rear of the van waving to everybody who was catching up to us. Catching up to us on the highway. And she was having a fun time watching people's responses. There were people who get little smiles on their face. There were people who would actually wave. And there were people who were... They were not responding to that girl in the back seat of that van. But what spoke to me the most, and what blessed me the most, is our granddaughter, Talia, no matter what response she got, no matter whether it was positive or totally ignored, or whatever, she didn't stop. She waved to hundreds of drivers and just kept smiling, kept waving, kept smiling, kept waving. And every once in a while, there'd be a really positive response. But she never let anyone's lock screen kind of approach or ignoring of her slow her down her enthusiasm. And you know, as we conclude this year here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel, we are so thankful for what God is doing here amongst us and in your hearts and lives. But my prayer, and in this message I want to share with you this morning, is the encouragement that no matter whether people wave back at us in appreciation of what's happening in our hearts here or are stone cold focusing away from us, let us never lose the enthusiasm to be welcoming, to be inviting, and to have a hope to share with people of God's love, mercy, and the work of His Spirit in our hearts and lives. So, Father God, thank You that we have this chance to look into Your Word. And Lord, bless us and lead us as we speak here and think about it and meditate on it today. So this Christmas, we have just celebrated this wonderful story of Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus left His throne in heaven, came to this earth, was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was born a tiny, helpless infant in Bethlehem. And the scriptures then give us few details of his childhood, but that Jesus, at the age of 30, fully God, fully man, yet surrendering His authority and place of power as God, He surrendered as a human and was open and flowing with the power of the Holy Spirit in His life in obedience to His Father, so that Jesus said, the things that I say, the things that I speak, the things that I do are what the Father has shown me. And that Jesus lived amongst us, fully human, understanding our temptations, our struggles, our tests, and yet showing to us what it means to live in relationship with God, in obedience to the Father, and bringing to us the kingdom of God, heaven touching earth. I was listening to Dr. John Neufeld on the radio here the other morning, and he had a really interesting illustration. He said, the incarnation of Christ is like a home invasion. If any of you have ever come home and found out that your home had been broken into, has anybody ever experienced that? Kind of leaves you devastated. Somebody's been in our house. Somebody's been through our stuff. Somebody has stolen stuff, and you probably then begin searching. What have they taken, and so on. It's violating to us when there's a home invasion. Well, you know what? God, in Christ Jesus, came as a heavenly invasion to earth. But rather than coming to steal stuff away, Jesus came back to return what the thief had already stolen. Jesus came back to restore what the devil has stolen from the human race. And though there were few people who really were aware of Jesus coming that first time there in Bethlehem, the world began to clue in the fact that Jesus came more than a baby. He came to be the Savior of the world and to give us what we need that the enemy has stolen from us. Now, the nativity, the story of the incarnation, is not meant to be packed away with the Christmas presents and the decorations. It's not meant to be stored away. The story of the incarnation, Christ with us, Emmanuel, Christ with us, is meant to continue every single day. It's meant to continue today. Only now, rather than going to see Jesus in the stable like the shepherds did, people now will experience and see the reality of the incarnate Christ in your life and in mine. We now become the dwelling place of the presence of the Lord Jesus through his Spirit in our hearts and lives. The incarnation is meant to continue today. And our world is just as much in need of hope and of life and forgiveness and to have restored to them what the devil has stolen. They're just as much in need of it today as they've ever been. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that will be able to help relate and share and give. So I want to talk with you today, in these few minutes, about how we, Christ followers, are able to continue the story of the incarnation. And to do that, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. This is a verse we have referred to a number of times here over Advent. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So that's what the Apostle John wrote. He said, this is what we saw, this is what we witnessed, this is what touched our hearts. But it was not meant to be concluded with the conclusion of the writing of the scriptures. It was meant to continue in us. So if you're in the Gospel of John, just turn back to the end of Luke. At the end of Jesus' life here on earth, before he returned back to heaven, he touched their hearts, the followers, the disciples' hearts, blessed them with the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives to interpret what the scriptures had said. Verse 44, then Jesus said to them, to his followers, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Many of those things he had now fulfilled in his first coming. There are many more yet to be fulfilled in his second coming that we still await for. It says, and Jesus opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. How will repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name to all nations? It will be through you who have witnessed all these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. They had witnessed the Lord Jesus, and now he was giving the assignment to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them and training them to follow and obey the things that Jesus said and did. But, he said, don't go on empty. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit falls on you so that you will have the equipping and the power to be able to share and testify effectively to the stories of Jesus. So, real quick tour, Acts chapter 1. Not going to spend a lot of time here in Acts, but just a real quick tour. We know the scriptures here that before Jesus ascended back to heaven, in chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, John the Baptist, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Brothers and sisters, it is still not in our place to be able to set exact time and dates of the fulfillment of Jesus coming again and the establishment of the God's kingdom on the earth. It's not our part to set times or dates. But I believe we are still under the mandate to go and make disciples, to go and give testimony of the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we are still under the same directive of the Lord that we need to do it in the power of the Spirit of Jesus at work in our lives. We're not meant to do it in any other power or ability than the Spirit of God working that out through us. So as we look at the book of Acts, we see some examples that give us encouragement in that. Acts chapter 2 then, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples, followers of Jesus, were together in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they began to speak in languages they had not heard. And to the amazement of the many, many people who were in Jerusalem from many different countries on that day of Pentecost to celebrate the day of Pentecost, they heard, chapter 2, verse 11, they said, we hear these disciples speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. The wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And then Peter stood up and in this new power of the Holy Spirit gave testimony of who Jesus Christ was, how that he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he was raised again, and that he is both Lord and Christ. And the scriptures tell us that 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. The Holy Spirit was working in their lives, the Holy Spirit was touching the crowd there, and they thousands were responsive to this message of understanding in a whole new way who Jesus Christ was. Now, I don't think the issue was the fact that they spoke in tongues. I think the issue is that all these visitors heard the wonderful works of God in their own language. That reoccurrence of those followers using languages they did not know to give testimony of Jesus did not happen over and over each time, But what did happen is that they went out telling the wonderful works of God over and over and over again. And that they kept asking for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in their lives to do it. What I want to encourage you with this morning is this, is that here we are concluding 2024, about to enter 2025. Our need to receive the forgiveness and the reconciliation that Christ purchased for us on the cross is just as real today as it ever was. And I want to encourage each one of you, surrender your life to Christ if you haven't done that. Receive his forgiveness. Become part of the family of God. Know that your sins are forgiven in Christ. Know that you have the gift of eternal life. When we do that, I believe that God makes us his child, his son, his daughter. We enter into a relationship with him, and yes, things go up and down in life, but our relationship becomes established in Christ when we receive him. My understanding of Scripture is you only need to receive Christ once in your life. He makes you his child. Sometimes you're a good boy, sometimes you're a bad boy, but you're still his child. However, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be restored with the Holy Spirit, to be renewed and empowered with the Holy Spirit, to me, as I understand it and practice, is actually a daily occurrence. We all need fresh filling every day. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Why did you eat breakfast? Because you got hungry. It's something you needed for fresh physical energy. I believe and understand from God's word that the presence of the Holy Spirit is something we can ask for every day. Lord, I need freshness from you again. Why? Well, quite honestly, in my spirit, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is something I need each day because I have leaks. I start off with the best of intention in the morning, but I barely make it to noon before something happens in my life. And I want to act out in the flesh. That's when I get to the office, that is. We all need a refreshing each day of God at work in our lives. Notice this, Acts chapter 4. Even after this amazing day of Pentecost, it was only a short time later when Peter and John were arrested by the religious leaders. Acts 4 verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. Now they were upset because a man in the temple was healed on the Sabbath day and they didn't like that. So they hauled in Peter and John and they threatened them. And verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, when the religious leaders threatened Peter and John, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had happened. Verse 23, and being let go, they, Peter and John, went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders have said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And they went on to quote here from Psalm chapter 118, praising and worshiping God. And then verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before them. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place that they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There was the presence of the Holy Spirit afresh poured out in their lives. And what did they do? They went out against the threats to speak the reality of Jesus to their community and to their world. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to just speak a little bit candidly here. Here at the Westlock Gospel Chapel, we have experienced a lot of growth this past year. Lots of new folks here, and we're glad you're here. You're welcome. There's lots who aren't here with us this morning because they're with family and traveling yet. But with growth and personalities, languages, nationalities, and the many programs and things that we have here at the church, with all of that growth comes stress. We're having growing pains. And with those growing pains can sometimes come fatigue, weariness, frustration, and most certainly the very interesting complexity of relationships combining together. People, attitudes, ways of doing things, dreams, ideas, pain, suffering, unforgiveness, all sorts of things, it all comes together. And quite honestly, we've had some growing pains this year. And one of the things that I've been paying attention to in my own heart and in watching you as you relate together is that there is a tendency when we're under stress that we can easily take offense at something that's not said right or done to our liking or the way we would like it done. And from our leadership level down to the everyday person here, this past few months especially, we have felt stress. And one of my prayers has been that we, the people of God, by the presence of the Holy Spirit given to us afresh each day, that we would become unoffendable. Unoffendable. That in the midst of growth, in the midst of all the things that are happening, we would take nothing personally. And we would not let it have a seed that starts to grow in our heart. And instead, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, flooding us and washing us each day, we could be a people who every morning stand up with a fresh attitude of love for one another, patience for one another, and the willingness to work together with one another. For God to have his way in our hearts and lives, for Christ to be glorified. By the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we can have a fresh experience of heaven touching earth every single day. How many of you have devotions every morning? Or how many of you are making a New Year's resolution, January 1st, I'm going to have devotions every morning from now on for the rest of the year, until at least January the 4th. I've thought about this term devotions. What does that mean, devotions? Well, what does the word devotion actually mean? It means a fresh commitment, a fresh devotion, a fresh surrender. In my heart and in my experience and for Gail and myself, what we try to do every morning is we surrender ourselves afresh to the Lord in devotion to him. Yes, we sometimes read something from Scripture or read something from a devotional book, but at the heart of it is, Lord, I stand fresh today, Lord, like a vessel needing to be filled with your presence and your love again, so that I can devote myself to you, to your plans, your purposes in my life. So with that, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to look just again at these few verses of encouragement to us. I'm just choosing this passage from the epistles. There are many, many we could look at. But this one here gets to the point for me this morning. There are three walks in Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Here's the way we walk. We walk in love towards one another, imitating Christ. I, My prayer is that I could imitate the love of Christ and practice sharing it with you and you returning it to me. Let us walk in love as Christ loved the church. Go to verse 8. For we were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So we walk in love. We walk in light. Whose light? The light of Jesus. And where does the light of Jesus abide? In our hearts, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our expressions to one another. It's walking in the light of Jesus as we imitate him in this earth by the presence of the Spirit of Jesus at work in us. And then finally down to verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. I've always understood that passage. Walking circumspectly means that we are walking, keeping attention to everything around us. Circumspectly, the circumference around us. We are not blind or ignorant to what's going on. We're conscious and aware of the world around us. But even more so of the world around us, we become conscious and aware to what God is doing in us and around us. Conscious and aware that he is at work in people's hearts and lives. And we need to walk circumspectly so that when the moment comes that we have an opportunity to sow the word of God in someone's heart or to harvest the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing someone and leading them to Christ or whatever, that we are redeeming the time because we're always looking for the opportunities that God lays before us. We walk with an awareness, God is at work. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been so many times in my life that I have missed a holy moment with someone because I felt like I wasn't prepared. Just before our service began here, as you were all coming in for Family Bible Hour, one of the things I did when I put this headset on is I popped off this little transmitter at the back and I cracked open the back of it and I checked the batteries. What is a speaker's nightmare in the middle of your sermon? Dead batteries. It's a nightmare as a speaker. It's even more of a nightmare for the poor dudes in the sound booth. But when I have a chance and you have a chance to redeem the time and share something of the wonderful works of God with whoever you meet in your circle of experience and relationships each day, I pray to God that in the midst of it, your batteries don't go dead. That's why we need the refreshing and filling of the Holy Spirit every day. Why we need his overflow in our hearts and lives to share what God is saying and doing in our lives. Verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, as we conclude this year and look forward to this new year coming up, two of the wonderful gifts that God has given us for us to continue in our walk of serving and loving the Lord are the Scriptures and the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives each day. We have the Word of God that gives us clear understanding of the revelation of who God is in Christ, a clear revelation of the prophetic times, past, present, and future, which we're going to look at in a few weeks here. We have the understanding of God's ways and truth for our lives. But if it's just the Word of God that we hold on to and have as our relationship with the Lord, we can tend to be in the Word in a context of thinking that the Scriptures are like the guardrails of how we should live a moral life. Don't do this, thou shalt not, do this, do this, do this. But the Word of God is way more than a guardrail of how to live a good life. It is actually the invitation for us to live in daily relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the presence of His Spirit in us. And so therefore, Jesus, upon His return to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit to be the one who lives in us, Jesus living in us, so that by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God in us, our lives are more than dry doctrine and theology, but life-giving relationship and power to live out what Jesus has asked us to do. The word alone can become doctrinal, intellectual pursuit. The Spirit of God alone, we can easily slide into an experiential desire and deception that the devil wants to throw in to get us sidetracked. But the Word and the Spirit together are a dynamic that gives us hope, courage, and fresh battery strength, fresh power for each day to serve Him. So here's my last thoughts. How can you be daily filled with the Holy Spirit? First of all, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Without the Lord Jesus making us alive to Him and to His Spirit, we are like people who are living with a dead or an ineffective receiver to understand even the things of God. That's why when Nicodemus came to Jesus in John chapter 3, Jesus said to him, "You must be born of the water and the Spirit." A natural birth and also a spiritual birth. So the beginning of a journey of living a life in close relationship and receiving the Holy Spirit starts with having your spirit made alive. And I encourage you again this morning, if you haven't done it, open your hearts to Jesus and be born of the Spirit. Then, every day, desire to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Every day, intentionally invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. How many of you want to start the day with your cell phone battery totally charged? We pay pretty close attention to that. Can I encourage you every day to start with your spirit fully charged? In the love of God, His mercy and grace flowing in you and through you and out to others. Believe and act on the assurance that God answers our prayer when we ask Him to fill us afresh with His Spirit each day. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." In John chapter 11, Jesus said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Here's an interesting thought. Charles Spurgeon, talking about faith, pictured it this way: "The life that grace confers at the moment of belief is the life of Jesus, Christ in us. Like sap from a tree, it runs into us, the branches, and establishes a living connection between our souls and Jesus. Faith is the grace that perceives this union." Faith is the grace that God gives us to perceive that I'm alive in Christ. His Spirit lives in me. I have what I need for today. So by the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we can invite and welcome every day, He comes to restore us, renew us, and give us what we need for each day and what comes. So, the incarnation is still happening. Even after all the decorations are put away, Even after all the presents become no longer new, even after we move on into the new year and all the challenges that it brings, the incarnation, Christ in us, still is going to happen each day. And I believe, and I encourage you this morning, that by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit available to you each day that you can ask for a refreshing and renewing in, God is going to equip you and equip me and equip us to be followers in this next year by His strength in a way that we cannot accomplish in our own strength, in our own power. By the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you will have courage to pray. To pray out loud. To pray in various circumstances and situations. Even as I saw this morning a few of you praying with one another, I pray that this will happen more in our lives by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that in our day-to-day communication with the Lord, prayer becomes comfortable. And it's not, doesn't have to be professional or the right words or King James language, but it's just real. We talk to Jesus. And we can do so with confidence and courage. By the witness of the Holy Spirit, we will have an overflow to share the wonderful works of God with people. From the day, like on the day of Pentecost, I believe that by the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can give testimony to what God is doing afresh in our lives each day. We'll have courage to witness of the love and the plan that came to us in Christ for everyone to have new birth in Him, new life, and His presence at work in our lives. Brothers and sisters, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we'll be able to survive the threats and the circumstances that want to crush God's work in our lives and our community. We can be like those followers and again ask for a fresh filling in our lives. By the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will be able to detect the enemy's lies and his deceptions and his attacks and stand strong in Christ. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you, right? We have authority in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters in Christ, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, we'll be able to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I can almost guarantee 2025 is going to give you and me lots of opportunity to ask God for His strength, His Spirit to be at work in our lives. I can guarantee it. But I can also guarantee that God will answer our prayer every time we say, "Yes, Lord, I need you. I welcome you here. I welcome you into this situation. I welcome you into our fellowship. I welcome you into my home. I welcome you into my heart so that Jesus Christ can be glorified." Do you want to come and get ready here to conclude? Let's pray. Let's just open our hearts again, fresh to the Holy Spirit. Maybe stand together with me as we pray and conclude here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Precious Lord Jesus. So, Father God, we've got so much to be thankful for. Lord, for your work in our hearts and lives. Your work here in the Westlock Gospel Chapel. Lord, all of these folks, all of these brothers and sisters in Christ, the work of, Lord God, your Spirit in our hearts and lives. We've got so much to be grateful for. And Lord, most of all, I'm so thankful for salvation in Christ, for a commission to share that message and that truth to the world around us, and for that promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, in our lives to do it. And so I ask, Lord, as I've preached this morning, that you will draw each one of us to become a people who increasingly are open to a fresh and daily filling of your Spirit, that we might accomplish the task with joy, with, Lord God, abundance, and with, Lord God, expectation. And Lord, help us not to become discouraged. Help us not to become confused or, Lord God, offended by people who just drive by us without making eye contact or waving in response. Help us to get past that and just be able, by the presence of your Spirit, to maintain the enthusiasm and the expectation that Jesus is alive and is working in our world around us. Thank you for this grace for us each and every day. And may, Lord God, our offering to you on a daily basis be a fresh offering of devotion and of, Lord God, openness like a like an empty cup with our arms open wide for you to fill us afresh, that we can follow you with, Lord, fresh power, fresh energy, and fresh commitment, all to the glory of God. Amen.